Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Wednesday, August the 28th. And today turned out to be a pretty nice day, not as warm as it was on Monday, not as pleasant as it was on Tuesday, somewhere in between. So we had some heat, but not the excessive heat that we had on Monday. Maybe we're reaching a sort of a middle point here where we can be in summer without being in the oven, if you know what I mean. I mean, it was just pretty nasty there over the weekend and on Monday. Today we're going to talk about energy independence. This is one of the most amazing things that is happening in the United States. And it, for many of us who grew up during the days of the oil gasoline lines and the oil embargo, this is a truly fascinating story that is going on out there. We're also going to talk a little bit about climate change. The politics of climate change is very interesting because more and more, and we see this with the Paris Climate Change Accords, when countries talk about climate change, they do a lot of talking. But when they have to implement the policies that they preach, it doesn't work out so well. And we're seeing it again with the Paris Climate Change Accords. Very few countries, if any, are actually abiding by the Paris Climate Change Accords. But let's talk a little bit about energy independence. This is really an amazing story. You know, back in 1973, and I'm going to show my age a little bit here, but back in 1973, you know, we had a situation where we had the first oil embargo, meaning that the price of oil in the United States, you know, went from 29 cents a gallon to like 60 cents. And then by the end of the decade, it was close to a dollar. But that wasn't the only part that disrupted people's lives. It was also the fact that you had all kinds of gas lines, you know, shortages and everything else. And, you know, people back then, like President Nixon, you know, I remember he gave a speech before Congress at about the time of the oil embargo. He gave a speech to the Congress in which he said, you know, we have to look forward to the day when we are energy independent. And, you know, it was kind of like, you know, we're going to put a man on the moon type of challenge. Maybe not as dramatic, but it was really the equivalent of that. So for the next, let's say, 40 years, 45 years, we've been working on it. And we're just about there, if not over the line. It is amazing the amount of oil and natural gas that the United States is producing. We're certainly producing enough to fulfill all of our domestic requirements. And this is, of course, extremely important when it comes to national security. Because if you're going to go into a war, I mean, if you go into a war, you have to have your resources, your oil resources, your fuel resources have to be secured. And when you have to rely on other people and when you have to bring your oil supplies across the Atlantic in tankers, well, you're making yourself vulnerable to these tankers being sunk or whatever. So we've made it to the point right now where we're pretty close to energy independence, if not over the line. And the fact is that in 2018, U.S. oil and gas production increased by 16 and 12% respectively. That is just simply amazing. That is just simply amazing. And it basically comes down to this. The U.S. is the world's largest producer of both oil and natural gas. And I tell you, I don't want to be partisan about this because I think it would be very easy to say, well, let's give President Trump the credit or let's give Republican presidents the credit. But I'm going to be bipartisan and say, everybody should be applauded here. We should give everybody who's been in government since the mid-70s, everybody should get some applause. The truth is that we've done it. We've become energy independent. We're now the largest producer of oil and natural gas, and that's going to be good. That's going to be good for us because it means that we don't have to go fight wars or we don't have to worry about sources of oil in unstable places. That's the first one. And number two, who knows how many jobs are going to be created because of this? I mean, you could have a boom in the oil industry, a boom in the natural gas industry. I mean, I'm not familiar with that industry to tell you what kinds of jobs there would be. But anytime you have a booming industry, you're going to have new jobs. So I think this is really a great moment. This is an absolutely great moment for the United States and for those of us who grew up hearing about energy independence. The fact that we have it, the fact that we've achieved it, it is really something that startles me. I mean, I sometimes cannot believe what I'm saying, that we have it, because for such a long time, I used to hear that that was our objective, that we were going to get there. Well, we got there. And again, I congratulate everybody who had something to do with it. I don't want to be partisan. I'm going to give everybody an applause for really an amazing accomplishment. I want to tell you something about climate change. I was just talking about climate change a minute ago when I was talking about the politics of climate change. There is an amazing article that I'm going to recommend that you check out. It's over at Powerline. I'm going to try to link to it on my blog or put it up somewhere so that maybe more people can see it. But there's a great article over at Powerline basically saying that our temperatures here in the United States, and those are the only ones that we can rely on, of course. I mean, those are the only ones that we have information on, that our temperatures here have not increased since 2005. In fact, there's a scientist who says that may have actually decreased. And that is really an amazing statistic. And there's the graph. I mean, there's the graph put out by a bunch of people. And it really puts to rest all of this alarm about global warming. You know, they don't call it global warming. Now they call it climate change, which is, of course, something totally different because climate change has always existed. There's always been climate change. I mean, that's just a fact. But global warming, of course, or global cooling, that's a different thing. So I'm going to recommend that you check out this article over at Powerline. I'm going to try to put a link on my blog so you can see it. But it's truly amazing. It shows the graph. And it shows that we have not been warming as many alarmists have been saying for quite some time. You know, I was having lunch with a friend of mine today, and he was asking me about all these Democrat polls. You know, the ones that show Vice President Biden up and then he's down and he's up and he's down. And I made a couple of observations to my friend that I would like to make to you. Number one, it is really too early yet. I mean, this is really way too early to be getting all excited about polling data. I mean, we're still easily 5 months away, or maybe 6 months away. I think it's in February or January when they vote in Iowa. So we've got the entire fall, the beginning of winter, and sometime in January or February, they're going to have a caucus in Iowa, probably January, because they're doing this earlier and earlier. And there's going to be a caucus in Iowa, and then there's going to be, I think, a week later or 2 weeks later, a primary in New Hampshire. So if you're going to be looking at polls, if you're going to be focusing on polls, I would recommend two things. Number one, just look at the polls from Iowa. Now, that's a caucus, and those are a little bit more difficult to poll, but nevertheless, there are organizations doing it. So look at the information from Iowa, and look at the information from New Hampshire, because really those are the only two that matter. If you're a Democrat running for president and let's say you don't come in the top three in Iowa, or you don't come in, let's say, in the top four or five in New Hampshire, you're pretty much done. You're done. You might as well pack it up and go home because nobody's going to give you any money. Right now, I don't know who's going to win Iowa right now, but I would bet that Iowa is going to surprise us a little bit, because it always does. So I'm going to guess right now that Elizabeth Warren or Bernie Sanders are going to win Iowa, and Vice President Biden is either going to come in at number three or number two, but it'll be a contested race. New Hampshire, I think Vice President Biden is going to win, and the others will be Senator Sanders, Senator Warren, and maybe Mayor Pete, who seems to be doing well in the poll there, coming in fourth. But that's how I see it, but I also caution you that it's way too early, and I mean way too early to get excited about this. There's still lots of time. So when they talk to you about these polls, just remember what I just said. There's lots and lots of time ahead, and we really don't know what's going to happen. We just don't know. Let's take a little break. Thank you. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas. We're going to go back and remember a couple of big things, very consequential things, that happened on this day, August 28th, in the 1960s. The first one was 1963, and that was the I Have a Dream speech by Reverend Martin Luther King in Washington, D.C. You know, to this day, I've gone back many times and I've watched the video, but the video is fantastic. I mean, Dr. King was an amazing speaker, of course, and the crowd was very much into what he was saying. But when you read it, it also touches you a great deal because the speech was well written and the speech actually said a lot. And my favorite part of the speech, and I think one of the things that the Democrat Party has lost, my favorite part of the speech was when he said, and I'm paraphrasing, but he said something along the lines, "Hey, don't judge my kids by the color of their skin. Judge them by the character, by their character, who they are." And you know, that's the way I've always seen people. I've seen people by who they are, by their character, not by the color of their skin. And I wish more Democrats would go back and read that part of the speech, because I think what we're seeing in the Democrat Party with identity politics is really a reversal of what Dr. King said on this day in 1963. That would make it 56 years ago that he gave that speech. But the bottom line is that what he said matters as much now as it did back then. So great. If you get a chance, go watch the speech. It is really an amazing, amazing speech. And on this day in 1968, really on this week in 1968, the Democrats met in Chicago, and they met to, nominate a president or nominate a candidate. And by the time they got to Chicago in late August, the party was very much falling apart. The Vietnam War was a real burden on the Democrat Party. You had the assassination of Robert Kennedy, of course, Senator Robert Kennedy, who was running for president when he was assassinated in June 1968 in California. And then you had President Johnson saying that he was not running for president at the end of March. So the party was in chaos, in disarray. And then they had the convention. Everybody knew that Hubert Humphrey was going to be nominated, Vice President Hubert Humphrey, who's a good man, a good guy, that he was going to be nominated. The only suspense, of course, who he would put as vice president. He ended up putting Senator Muskie from, I think, Maine. And that was the ticket, Humphrey Muskie. The problem is that they had a lot of problems at the convention. There were lots and lots of things going on inside the convention, lots of fights, lots of arguments, sometimes real fights, punching, and so on. At one time, I think a member of the media, as I recall, got punched by somebody on the floor. Then you had all of this fighting with the police outside at the park, and the whole thing was chaotic. The American people saw on television a chaotic scene that they had never seen at a convention before. And it did a lot of harm to Vice President Humphrey. In fact, I think it cost him the election. No question in my mind that it did, because then former Vice President Richard Nixon, who was the Republican nominee, basically ran on a ticket of law and order. And that's what got him over the top. In all fairness, he also had a lot of help from George Wallace, Governor George Wallace of Alabama, who ran as an independent and probably hurt the Democrats a great deal in the South. But this was the day, I think, in many ways, that we saw the beginning of the destruction of the Democrat Party. Now, they had some good moments since, particularly during the Clinton administration, when they went a little bit to the center, trying to be more of a centrist party. But really, their problems began on this day. And I think that they're going to culminate in Milwaukee next year, because I think what you're going to see in Milwaukee next year is going to be total madness, absolute madness at that convention in Milwaukee. And it may very well reelect Donald Trump. I just feel that it probably will. Well, thank you for listening. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, and we will talk to you later. Bye-bye, everybody.